Are you sure?
Yes.
All right, just wanted to see. How many has one of these? An iPad? Or maybe your telephone or a computer? Does that fit everybody? Well, most people. You know, it's interesting. This Julie and I have iPads, and we... let me check my Facebook. No, never mind. And this is what we do most of our reading, and you know, your Kindle, and we use this for communication. You know, our son and his family's in America, we talk to them, and we're able to communicate with them. And also, if I'm looking for information, if I need to learn something, then what do you do if you're looking for information? Google it. Just don't do that for medical help, okay? Let me tell you, you know, you all know that we've got a 3-year-old Labrador and a 2-year-old Cavoodle. Charlie, everybody see Charlie's photo? He was so cuddled up with Mama yesterday. But anyway, I had this notorious thing when something would happen with Milo or Charlie, I'd go to Google, find out all these things, and you know, it'd scare me to death to see what the internet had to say. I thought they were dying when they just had an upset stomach. So we have to be cautious with what's there, even if you go to Wikipedia. Anybody ever use Wikipedia? There's some pretty good information with Wikipedia, but I remember when I was in courses at University of Tasmania, they would not allow Wikipedia or any of these things. They said, you must go to an academic journal. So I would go to an academic journal, and then if you go to an academic journal to find what's supposed to be the truth, I wish you luck in understanding their language. But secondly, I heard this statistic, that 80% of the information you find on an academic journal is superseded or proven false within 5 years. So can you trust anything on the internet? Not really. So where do we go to find the information that we need for our lives? Ken, that's a good answer, Ken. That's part of my message today. Ken just held up your Bible, so go ahead and hold up your Bible. I was going to try the red Bible thing, but yeah, you know, Steve's got his iPhone right there. Of course, this is where I do my researches on the internet and stuff like that. We can go to the internet to find anything. We can go to Fox Sports. Anybody go to Fox Sports? No? Well, I do. And we could even find out how bad Nick Kyrgios is acting. So. But anyway, if we want good information, we need to go somewhere that we can depend on. And I think the Bible gives us some pretty good insight into that. If you have a handout, the title is, Does the Holy Spirit Speak to Us Today? Well, does He? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to answer that question, does the Holy Spirit speak to us today? Go with me to Acts chapter 13. But first, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed that our sins can be forgiven. Thank you for his resurrection that defeated death, hell, and the grave. Thank you for the promise of heaven. Father, there's a particular need that we want to bring to you right now, and it's about the rain here in Australia. You know our situation. better than anybody does. And though we're very fortunate to have rain right here on the mid-north coast, there's a lot of people further west that's really struggling. Father, Jesus told the story about asking and knocking and seeking, and we're going to keep doing that, Lord, just like Jesus said. And Father, we're just going to keep trusting you to send the rain. Send the rain. And we're going to do that because you told us to. So Father, pour it out and quench the thirst of our land. Now Father, as we go into your word and we look at those things about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, help us to grasp this and understand. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene. Many, I hadn't got that one right, so whatever it is, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Here in Antioch, we have a prayer meeting. I left that silent for a purpose. Let that sink in. They had a prayer meeting. Perhaps prayer is a vital thing for the church. What do you think? Perhaps we ought to have more prayer. But anyway, during this prayer meeting, they were worshiping and fasting, which tells us these people were really serious about hearing from God. Now, we can go throughout the Bible and we find those that are serious about hearing from God do just that, worshiping and fasting. Fasting's not something you hear too often in an affluent society. Anybody here like to eat? I think all of us do. But sometimes I think it's a good idea, if God leads you, to spend some time without food, to spend time with Him, to really seek Him, to seek His face about something. Then I think it's a good thing to do. Just don't broadcast it to everybody because you lose the benefit of it. Jesus said, don't do that. But if God leads you to fast and pray, then do that. So worshiping and fasting really does show some people are serious about hearing from God. But you know, at this particular prayer meeting right here, we really don't know why they were together. We just know that they were there worshiping and fasting. I don't think they were asking the Lord to send forth missionaries here. They were just worshiping and fasting. And when people start worshiping and fasting, God shows up. And that's what he did. The Bible said the Holy Spirit says, comes in and he says, listen, I want you to send these two guys out as missionaries. That's our terminology for what happened. So what they did, they prayed for them, they worshiped, they fasted, they laid hands on him and went out. So it doesn't take long, as we're going through Acts chapter 13, to discover how the Holy Spirit speaks. But something to notice here, how did the Holy Spirit speak to them? Does the Bible tell us? No, it doesn't. A matter of fact, the Holy Spirit speaks to the church 33 times in the book of Acts, and not once did God choose to tell us how the Holy Spirit spoke to these people? Not once. How come? How come he didn't put forth a prescription? Why did he not tell us a methodology? Well, I'm going to tell you Tony's belief, all right? This is just my opinion. I don't think God wanted to limit himself to just a couple of ways of talking to people. And if he told us how he did it, then it wouldn't be long. Then we'd have a bunch of professionals who become professional at doing that way, and they would dominate the rest of us that are not professionals, right? So God didn't tell us how, because he could speak anyhow, any way that he chooses to. Would you agree? Okay. So we really don't have a methodology of how the Holy Spirit thinks. But there's a problem with that. If hearing from the Holy Spirit is so wide open, don't we need to have some principles or guidelines to go by as we're listening for the Holy Spirit to speak? Here's some things to think about. I think we need to have some biblical principles that kind of put some guidelines on hearing from God. You and I know, getting ahead of myself, but there's a lot of people who wants to be the voice of God in your life. And fortunately, if you're on the internet, there's a lot of people come right into your home and right into your phone or your computer that wants to be the voice of God in your life. Do we believe every word they say? There's a few people not doing anything, but there's several heads going, no, 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 no. We don't believe every word they say. But I do believe we should put some parameters. We should be careful in what we hear to see if it's from the Holy Spirit. Now, John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, go over there with me. Even John, or God, the Holy Spirit, through John, gives us some instruction. Look what he says, beloved. You ready for this? Talk about straight preaching. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't accept if somebody says they're from God, no. Don't accept it. But do what? But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Why? For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So there's fair enough warning. There's a lot of false prophets out there with false teaching. And as I said, they have the avenue to come right into our home if you believe everything on the internet. So when somebody comes in, according to this verse, if somebody says they have a word from God for you, there should be immediate and thorough scrutiny. Well, that's a bit harsh. You better be harsh. Let me explain why. You know how quickly that false doctrine can spread? All it has to do is be a little bit exciting or obscure or some new thing. And all of a sudden, it flashes across the internet like lightning. Now, the old traditional belief system from the Bible, it doesn't get much, it doesn't expand too quick on the Bible. But you let somebody say something new, guess what happens? Everybody's preaching this new thing. Careful. So when somebody says they're speaking for God, needs to be scrutinized carefully. Even the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when there was a lot of people speaking for the Holy Spirit, you know 1 Corinthians 14? He said, let there be up to three prophets speaking. You know the next line? And let the others judge. Well, what does that mean? To judge it and see if it's actually from God or not. So immediately when somebody has a voice from the Lord, the others are to judge and see if it's right. That's just straight in your Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and read that. That's what he says to do. So we need to be cautious. Scrutiny needs to be immediate and needs to be correct. So, having said all of that, we have to be cautious that when we think the Holy Spirit is speaking, we need to approach it with caution. Don't just be open for anything. So how can we know that what's being said is from God? How can we know? Well, let's look at what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, this is Jesus, he should know. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So how do we apply this? When somebody claims to be speaking for the Holy Spirit or for God, then what they say needs to point you back to Jesus or what he said. You think that's a pretty good way to judge something? If it highlights Jesus or highlights something that he said, then praise the Lord, this is probably God's word for you, right? But what if it contradicts something that Jesus said? It's a false prophet. We've got to be cautious, folks, because there's too many things being said in the Christian community today that focuses on vague and obscure ideas that do not point us to Jesus. I think the Bible says of itself, no scriptures of private interpretation, which means it's not going to be just exclusively to one person. Anybody can go to the scripture and learn to support that. So it really is a true thing when, if we want the truth, where are we supposed to go? Hold it up again, Ken. The Bible. Well, somebody says, well, I want more. I want to have more of the Holy Ghost power in my life. Well, hold on just a minute. Let me tell you how you can have that. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. How many wants more power than that? For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Wow, talking about powerful. If you want real Holy Spirit power in your life, learn your Bible. Can I hear it? Have an amen? Amen. Learn your Bible. Well, does the Bible address everything in our lives? No. What do we do then? The Bible does give us principles to apply, such as honesty, integrity, morality. It gives us encouragement when we're down. Anybody experience that? It humbles us when we get a little too big for our britches. Anybody ever experience that? It empowers us when we're weak. It fills us with hope when it points us towards the power of God. Who wants more power than what the Word can provide? That's real powerful. So, when the Holy Spirit speaks, a couple of things will take place. Let me have your attention, please. When the Holy Spirit speaks, a couple of things will take place. It'll either point us towards what Jesus said, or we'll be able to support it from the Word of God. Everybody with me? Now here's a big one. Does the Holy Spirit speak to us today? Does He speak every day throughout our day? Even when you're not reading your Bible, does the Holy Spirit speak to us? How many thinks He does? Thank you. I'm with you. We got a crowd together today, so. I believe He does try to speak. He does speak to us. And let me show you why I think He does. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. This is one of the reasons He's able to speak to us every day. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Another one, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So the Holy Spirit can speak to us because He is walking, living, eating, sleeping, thinking with us every second of our lives. So He can speak to us because He is there. Remember the song? He is here, hallelujah. He's here. Why is He here? Because He's here. He's here. That should encourage you that the Holy Spirit is with you and He is walking with you. So we can conclude the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. And we are promised, listen folks, that the Holy Spirit of God will guide us. Well, how does He do that? How does He do that? What's that?
Through the Word.
Well, what if we don't have the Bible with us? Okay. I believe sometimes He whispers to us. Anybody ever heard a whisper? Let me tell you where it's so obvious with me. Not that I like it. When I do something stupid. Anybody ever done anything stupid? Thanks, Steve. Maybe I've gotten a little too big for my britches. Maybe I've made a statement that I shouldn't have made. Maybe I've just stepped out of line. Then all of a sudden, very loudly, I hear this, forget the whisper, it's a shout. You messed up, Tony. And sometimes I resist and say, no, I didn't. Lord, you don't understand. This is me. I know what I'm doing. You ever argued with God? Don't. He'll win. But then that whisper stays there. It stays there. It stays there. And you feel that convicting presence of the Holy Spirit. Not condemning presence of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't do that. That's what the devil does. But that convicting, that's just saying, listen to me, Tony, you need to fix this one. After I struggle a little bit with it, I'll go, okay, okay, okay. I'll apologize. I'll tell them I was wrong. That's when I hear that whisper quite often. But you know, I believe the Holy Spirit living within us does whisper to us. And I think if you practice listening to that whisper, you'll get to recognize it. And you can recognize when the voice of God is coming. I know there's been times in my life that I just didn't know. I mean, even just daily working or whatever, something coming up, I don't know what to do. I say, God, will you help me? And then all of a sudden you get this prompting. You have a decision to make. Are you going to say, well, you know, Tony, you did a pretty good job working that one out. Or are you going to stop and say, thank you, Lord, I wouldn't have thought of that. You hear that whisper? He'll speak. But something to remember. The Holy Spirit will lead us, but he will not force us. Ooh. Perhaps maybe he should force us sometimes. We're not puppets without a choice, you know. But sometimes he will lead us, and now he says, you have a choice to make. What are you going to do? He will not force us. And the scripture is clear. It says you can quench the Holy Spirit. And what that basically means is when he speaks to you, you can say, I'm not interested, and go on about your life. And that suppresses God's Spirit in your life. Do we want that? No, we don't. But often we do it anyway. The Holy Spirit's not going to force his way on you. I think if you look through the scripture, even in 1 Corinthians 14, it says the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. He's not going to have you do something that's out there that you're out of control of. God doesn't work that way. You will be able to make the decision on what you do, but he will give you the right direction. Now, whether you follow it or not, it's up to you. So we can ascertain some things today. Yes, the Holy Spirit is speaking today. And he's speaking clearly. And there's the two or three things that we can look at to make sure that, you know, this probably is the Holy Spirit. Number one, does he point you to Jesus and what Jesus taught? If he does, there's a good chance this is from God. Secondly, if what the Holy Spirit seems to be saying to you is supported clearly in the Bible, then we can rest assured that this was from God. Actually, you know, the Holy Spirit of man, Holy Spirit of God, superintended man when they wrote the Bible, so why would he contradict it at a later date? So it's just working together. You see, the Holy Spirit turns the light on with the Word of God. And he can guide us through the scripture. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit does speak to us every day. We've just got to learn to listen for him. And sometimes, folks, we got to get quiet to listen. Have you ever had a time throughout your day that it seems like everything was just so noisy? You just didn't know what to do? It's probably good to go find a couple of minutes by yourself and get quiet. Maybe spend a little time worshiping and praising God. And then ask for his leadership. Then it just might come a little clearer. Jeff was telling the other day that sometimes he thinks farmers has a benefit They can be out on the tractor just really worshiping the Lord and praising and having a great time with the Lord. They can't hear anything else but the tractor anyway, but so they're just having a great time with the Lord. You know, I've tried to do that in the car. Be careful, because you'll get going too fast if you don't set your cruise control. But we need to find that time where we can listen. Spend some time. Lord, I need your help. Lord says, okay, I'm here. This is what I want you to do. And he just prompts us to move ahead. So does the Holy Spirit speak? Oh, yeah. Because Jesus promised he would guide us, didn't he? And Jesus fulfills his promises. He will guide us every day. You just got to be listening. So we can be encouraged that the Spirit of God is with us, and he does speak. And sometimes it's just a whisper. Sometimes it can get loud, particularly if you stepped out of line. I know. But to summarize these things, go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to read something that kind of summarizes everything that we said. So if you have a couple of verses that you want to memorize, right here's a couple that would be good to memorize, all right? 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 24. Rejoice always. Anything wrong with that? Even when things are going rough, rejoice always. Secondly, pray without ceasing. Pretty good instruction, isn't it? Verse 18. Give thanks in all your circumstances. What did he have to say that one? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Verse 19. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Don't resist him. Do not despise prophecies. You're supposed to listen. Verse 21, but test everything. There's that testing and scrutinizing that we've talked about. Hold fast to what is good. Totally reject stuff that's false. Hold fast to what it is good. Abstain from every form of evil. You don't have to have God to tell you that one again. That one's clear. Verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You see, we've got a lot to be excited, folks. I mean, Jesus is coming one of these days, right? But the big thing is, he's with us right now, every day, in the person of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's stand. For next week, I want you to read Acts chapter 15, 16. Go ahead and 17. There's an interesting doctrinal thing I want to look at next week. So there's your homework, Acts 15, 16, 17. All right? And one of the best ways that we can know that we're hearing from the voice of God, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your instruction for our lives. Thank you for the guaranteed assurance that through the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself is with us, guiding us, prompting us, correcting us if necessary, but encouraging us continually. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all you do for us. Now may we go and live and listen so we can hear your voice. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.